Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. Join us on our journey into the past, the present, and the future as we explore the relationship between technology and humanity. Together, we are going to find out what it means to live in a society where everything is connected and the only constant is change. Knowledge is power, now more than ever. Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com. Nintex is the global standard for business process management and automation. The Nintex platform helps their clients accelerate progress on their digital transformation journeys by quickly and easily managing, automating, and optimizing business processes. Learn more at nintex.com.
Marco.
Sean.
It's time to redefine security again.
We're going to keep redefining security. We're on a mission.
It's a never-ending redefining, right? We can always do better.
Yeah, we can always do better. And another thing that I got to say right away is I keep thinking about how do we redefine security. We're redefining it in so many different ways. There are so many different angles that can give a different perspective. And we had some perspective focus podcast before, and I think this is one of those.
It certainly is, and I think with perspective, everybody has their own, right? Which essentially equates to diverse set of perspectives.
It's a good thing for me.
It is.
How boring would that be if we all
looked and sounded and thought the same way? That'd be really bad.
Yeah, that brings value to everything we do. And I think that's the conversation that we're going to have today. And as usual, Sean, not just the two of us. That would be really, really, really boring.
Exactly. So I'm thrilled to welcome Kurt John to the show. Kurt is the Chief Cybersecurity Officer at Siemens USA. Kurt, thanks so much.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
Yeah,
it's going to be good. And today is all about the value of diversity and attracting the right folks from all different places to achieve the business goals that you're looking to achieve. And you have quite a few years of experience here. So maybe a little background on yourself, Kurt, and then as you lead up to your current role, maybe some insight into what you're up to today.
Yeah, sure thing. So I started roughly in security, maybe about 12 years ago. I've always had an interest and a passion back in the days when you used to sort of get free dial up and that type of stuff. And I always ask myself, why can I do this? And why is no one stopping me? But fast forward, I did an undergrad in computer science and got started in consulting, auditing. And then one day my boss came to me and said, hey, cybersecurity is going to be a thing. What do you think? I agreed. And so he said, why don't you go do a couple of certifications? So I actually started out by being a pen tester. And very, very early, it was pretty cool. I actually got to pen test some interesting places, including airports. Which was tons of fun and very concerning. Hopefully things are better now. As I sort of moved from there and transitioned, I started to get more of the business focus. So the technical skills started to make way for the more business focus skills, you know, the strategy, how can we enable that? How can we protect the business's journey? And then from a relatively small company where you kind of had to do everything yourself, very entrepreneurial, you find the work, you write the proposal, you present it, you plan the work, do the work, write the report. All the way through, I was at Grant Thornton for a year. And then Siemens plucked me up, put me in their leadership development program, which was pretty cool. And very early on, about 2 years into that program, I got tapped for this role. And so now, you know, as Chief Cybersecurity Officer for Siemens US, which is roughly a $25 billion business, what I'm responsible for is the products, the infrastructure, and everything that gets delivered to the customer for the US market. And so that means strategy, tactics, enablement, protecting the business's journey, understanding the business's journey. That's so pivotal. And of course, a topic near and dear to my heart is diversity, because as you guys rightfully said up front, without that, you're not as effective as you could be.
Yep, and we're certainly getting it into that. I'd like to take a moment, if you don't mind, to talk about the leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that about? What was the objective for that 2 years? You said you were part of that.
Yeah.
How's that run? What's it for? What's the desire to?
So it's basically the internal audit department, but it doubles as a leadership development program. The idea being is that they take people from both internal to Siemens as well as external, mostly internal. But once you come into that program, you have your area, your skills, your expertise that you contribute to trying to find problems and come up with creative solutions for how Siemens can fix it. Well, the idea with that also is you have a unique opportunity to learn different disciplines that you may not have been exposed to before. So for me in cybersecurity, I've worked on financial problems, export control problems, you know, operational problems, digitalization problems, the list goes on. And by exposing yourself to all these different areas, you become much more well-rounded. You understand the business much better. And that means when you leave the program, you're in a much better position to contribute to the business. Globally, at the time that I left, it was roughly 300 individuals. And one of the things I love about that program, I find it difficult to think of any other place where you have all this access to these leaders of billion-dollar businesses. Because within Siemens, you might be doing a project within this program, and you're speaking to someone across the table from you, and it's super easy to forget this person is running a $2 billion business. But then the constant exposure to these folks and what they're thinking, what their issues are, the problems they're trying to solve, is just no replacement for it. So that was really, really fantastic. And one of the things I also like about the program, diversity is important. They're actually ramping up diversity as part of what they're trying to do now. And I'm actually speaking to the global community as part of this leadership development program in a few weeks about diversity and how important it is. So it's a fantastic program.
You know, I'd like to connect a couple of things here, because obviously cybersecurity has become a value for a business. And it's not just the department of, no, I'd love to say that. But there is a reason that it's not just to patch things or to make sure that things don't go wrong, but it's actually because you bring value to the business. And one thing that I love about that is that when you actually look at it from that perspective and you bring in the diversity, company can really realize kind of like 1 + 1 = 6. I'm not even going to say 3, 6, 10.
Yeah.
When diversity comes into place and you put it together with this cybersecurity value, I feel like you're really on the right path. Just wondering, it's nice to know we are on the right path. I was just wondering how long is the road ahead?
You know, the safe answer I've been told many, many years ago is always to say it depends. But in this case, I really think that's true. One thing I do think with the pandemic and everything else that's happening in 2020, I think it might not be too far ahead. And that's because even before the pandemic, we knew, you know, some places had figures like 3.5 million open jobs for cybersecurity globally. With the pandemic, that's probably, you know, increased substantially. And the biggest driver of change in this area is going to be decision makers like myself and my peers, not just in cybersecurity, but in other leadership functions, including CEOs. If everyone understands the value that security brings, and I think when people hear cybersecurity, rightfully so, they think about they think about servers that need to get protected. They think about data that needs to get protected. And that's true. But think about it this way. We are all engaging with technology in ways that we have never done before. Everything we do, from this podcast to sitting and watching TV, to when we visit the doctor, to pulling up our charts virtually, to making a payment. Everything we do is with technology. It's democratized throughout every aspect of our life. Same with the business, throughout all the business processes. And the most effective way for us to engage in a future in which we trust is to ensure that all this democratized technology is protected and operates in a way that we can anticipate and that is stable. And cybersecurity is a means to do that. So whenever I hear technology, digitalization, innovation, the flip side of that coin is cybersecurity. Hopefully, eventually, we get to a point where that coin disappears and they're just one and the same. But for now, there's a coin. So, you know, if people start to think of cybersecurity in that way, I think more leaders would exercise their authority, their influence in order to drive the topic from their desk. And if we can do that soon, you know, more people recognize that sooner, the shorter the road. So my fingers are crossed.
As are ours. And Kurt, you said the word trust there, and I want to speak to that for a second. Because I think if there's one group, and forget what that group looks like, but if there's one group of people defining policy, setting controls, and managing how we use our technology in business and at home and in our communities and society as a whole, we may not have as much trust in that. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to the need, forget the value for a minute, just the need for diversity in all of that to establish trust?
I just came up with this example off the top of my head, and hopefully it's apt. Let me know if it's not. Let's say that cars were developed, built, designed, everything in the tropics, and they were rolled out to the rest of the world. Where I'm from, we absolutely need an air conditioner. Where I'm from, we absolutely do not need heat in that car. So can you imagine shipping said car to, I don't know, in the middle of Eastern Europe, right, in the middle of winter, and they're trying to turn on the heat, there is no heat. I think that's a really good example of how skewed your perspective and even your product, et cetera, can be if you don't have a very diverse set of inputs. And diversity, let me be clear, is not just, or let me put it this way, it's a combination of ethnicity, social background, cognitive abilities. The list goes on. What you want is as rich a mixture of human beings as possible in every aspect. So yes, I believe if you don't have a diverse enough team, it's not just about security. Even your business go-to-market, your processes, everything suffers because your perspective is way too skewed to be broadly effective in the way you would like it to be.
No, I love that. And what really strikes me here, which I think is important, and maybe you can expand on it, is you led with a story. You gave an example of something. And I'm wondering if we do a decent enough job in cybersecurity telling stories that leverage different perspectives and different views and different backgrounds and all that, all the goodness that diversity brings. Do we do a good enough job there? And if not, how do you see things changing?
I don't think we do. And the reason I say that is because, again, those open positions, people are clamoring, and they're entire groups of people who, in my opinion, have the ability, if they're trained correctly, given the opportunity to be effective, but they just don't have access to those opportunities. I'll tell you another story. On my team, one of the best risk assessors that I've come across had zero background in cyber. He was an accountant. Yeah, I inherited him. And basically, and I'm so grateful my predecessor had the foresight. He basically said, hey, I think you are a great critical thinker, a great lateral thinker. How about you join the cyber team? And he says, I know nothing about cyber. He said, it doesn't matter. If you can think critically, you have a passion for it, you'll learn. What we need are people who can exhibit those qualities that I just mentioned. Inherited him, and he was so phenomenal. Yeah, and so I think more people need to think like that in order to give even more people access to these opportunities. I'm hoping truly that, and I see a shift happening where there is more allowance for people who have varied backgrounds or giving people additional paths. So it's not just your four-year degree or your two-year associate's degree from a community college. It's on-the-job training, it's certifications. And so if we can just embrace those and understand that people are really interesting, nuanced creatures that learn. And this is going to sound sort of altruistic or, you know, but we're not just degrees on a paper. And if we engage with people and identify those type of qualities that allow us to gain access to a whole new group of people, it would really be cool. I think it would be so cool. And we can do two things, actually. We can get the type of talent we need for cybersecurity, and we could really move the needle for groups of people who historically have not had access to the same type of socioeconomic opportunities as others. Yeah, so it's two birds, one stone, and everyone benefits.
I agree. I find your example kind of funny, but also so real, right? I mean, same thing would apply if you live in the north of Europe and you just do like four-wheel drive and then you don't really need it somewhere else. But I mean, that's really good. But I think that touch on the globality of the business and how technology has made even the small business global in a way. Even the person that sell on Etsy can reach a global market. Now, you can decide to make a product that is for a specific niche market, for a specific geographic area. But as you grow, why wouldn't you want to consider everything else? It's part of the democratization of everything that technology is doing, right? So let's go back to the value and how you maybe need to train inside the company the people. Because that was part of one conversation we just had on the Academy, which is another channel that we have on ITSP Magazine, and how you can't really expect somebody to come out of a college and have a degree that just tells you exactly everything you're going to need, I don't know, to build a bridge for the next 50 years. You can't. Technology changes too fast. So company, I agree, they need to not cultivate, but actually keep learning, keep teaching the skills. I love that.
I'll tell you another story. You can tell I like stories.
Love stories.
So that's right. Awesome. So I had a coworker I'd never met before. She reached out to me on LinkedIn. So I told her, send me an email. We connected. She said, look, I work in IT help desk. I'm super interested in cybersecurity. My boss agreed to send me to do this certification. I'm in the midst of doing this certification, but what do I do? Where do I go? How do I engage with cyber? So I said, okay, look, you know what? Let's me and your boss sit down and we're going to do the following. You're going to work, once you're done with your certification, which is this month, you're going to work on a special project. For the organization in which you sit right now, you're going to figure out what the top three cybersecurity risks are and then come up with recommendations on how to mitigate those risks. And you have my entire team at your disposal. You'll dial into our weekly meetings. You can ask questions. You can listen in. If you need me, I'm happy to hop on a one-on-one. And then let's connect you with the rest of the cybersecurity community within Siemens. And in 6 months, let's see how it goes. So that is a program that I'm working on rolling out, which would give employees immediate access to cybersecurity teams, cybersecurity topics, cybersecurity work. So because I think it's one thing to do certification, which is important. What's most important to me is to engage with the topic as quickly as possible to get a sense of how you feel about it and how you respond to it. And so that's something we're going to do internally at Siemens across the board, which is to give these people this type of access. And Marco, you're absolutely right. Lifelong learning should be the name of the game. And as soon as you leave university with your undergrad, your knowledge is outdated. Yeah, the second you step, even probably even before you finish your degree. And so things like rotation programs. If I send a couple of my team members to go sit in IT or supply chain or legal for 2 weeks, bring a couple of attorneys or procurement specialists or IT specialists in my team for 2 weeks. So you understand, for us, speaking from Cyber Now, the processes which are helping the business to succeed, the challenges they might have internally in those processes, and how can we enhance that process, supplement that process, protect that process. So I am huge on stretching the very limits of the word collaboration within the broader ecosystem of an organization. One of the things I used to love to do when I was in that leadership development program, we would go to specifically tackle problem A, which had nothing to do with, let's say, the business's go-to-market strategy, nothing to do with their procurement strategy, nothing like that. But I would always make time to sit with the heads of those departments and say, hey, tell me about your last go-to-market strategy. How was it successful? What was the return on that? Why wasn't it successful? How is it going to shift your next round of strategy planning? And that's because, regardless of whether it's cyber or not, but here we're talking about cyber, you need to understand the playground. And the best way to do that is to speak to everyone in the playground.
Yep. I love that. And I want to dig a little deeper in this, Kurt. Mm-hmm. I was actually speaking to a good friend of mine a few weeks back about the idea of crowdsourcing. It was primarily around risk. So crowdsourcing risk stories from throughout the company. So not just the risk team, not just security team looking at that. And your example of the program that you're working on with this individual seems to be just that. And So that's one part that I'd like you to comment. The other part is we also talk about in the industry the concept of security champions, where you can't just hold security internal and inside the security ops group. You need to extend out into legal, into R&D, into all these different areas. So those two things connected. What do you see, or what do you expect to get from that program by having this security and champion group building and looking at things differently? Then the diversity is coming into play here, obviously.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, it's a really good question. I think both of those questions actually have the same answer. I think the sign of the maturity of an organization, partly when it comes to cybersecurity, is in part how much you're able to shift cybersecurity activities into the broader population. Organizations which are not very mature, you find their cyber teams have to do all of the heavy lifting, a lot of the pushing. They're responsible for a lot. Mature organizations have your regular employee who is savvy at spotting phishing campaigns, who would call up the cyber team and say, hey, this process looks a little bit weird. Can you guys come take a look? So to answer your question, I think that's one of the metrics that you need to use if you're measuring the maturity of your organization, is how well does your general population engage with cyber and how involved are they with the cyber team. For that young lady that's going to be helping, and you know, I think everyone benefits. My team benefits, right? Because we now have, let's use your term, champion, who is keeping an eye on cyber in a very important part of the business. Her boss benefits, because if she's able to identify those top three risks and mitigate them, that means the business is healthier. She benefits. She loves cyber and wants to engage. And so she's like top of the world right now. The overall organization benefits. And if you can imagine rolling this out to all of our businesses, it would be fantastic. So, and I actually love the term crowdsourcing risk. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. And I think organizations, if they want to demonstrate the maturity, that's one of the things that's necessary.
So I'm going to have a little disclaimer here, which is we're not in the Cyber Society channel, but I find more and more difficult to just draw lines in between our channels, because these conversations, they just cannot be just tech, just business, and of course, just society. Everything mm-hmm. is interconnected. And I think that this conversation is demonstrating exactly this. I mean, you're touching to a point that sometimes I wonder, are we expecting too much from cybersecurity right now when it only short time ago really has become that mainstream business problem, the data, the privacy, and all of that. And so with this, I'd like for you to tell us another story that maybe you have to imagine it. And where do you see this going in the future? I mean, are we on the right path? Are we going to have to redefine the rule of the games, or are we okay?
I think 7 to 10 years from now, you know, and if let's say if my prediction is right, maybe I'll drop out of cyber and start playing the stock market.
Do that.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I think you're going to see a convergence. So remember that coin that we talked about going away. I think you're going to see a convergence of chief technology officer, chief digitalization officer, chief innovation officer, chief cybersecurity officer. And the reason why those are broken out right now is because we are in the early stages of that digitalization journey. And then we figure out, oh, we actually need certain technologies to do it. Oh, no, but we need a way for those technologies to gather data and to try to consolidate that data in one place so we can use it. Let's get a digitalization officer. Well, we need to try fitting the technology together in different ways, so let's get an innovation officer. Well, it needs to be protected, so let's get a cybersecurity officer. So we're very early in that journey, and because of that, it's very broken up right now. And I think as this journey continues, more innovative platforms come along that could do more of the work at the lower and middle tiers of that journey, right? So presenting a nice nifty dashboard that people can make more complex decisions because they don't have to waste their time with fiddling with the lower ends of the spectrum. All that is going to merge into, I wouldn't be surprised if there's one role that's handling all four of those. And that's actually good news, because while some people might hear, well, that means that there's no more need for an analyst, that may be the case, but a part of a more sophisticated technology environment are more sophisticated problems. So maybe there still is an analyst, but the role evolves. There is going to be plenty of need for a very diverse workforce who can, and that's where diversity really shows its merits when you're dealing with complex problems, who can ingest this very complex problem created by technology plus policy risk plus international relations plus business risk plus, and then come out on the other end of that with a really cool, nifty solution that can help the business succeed in a very complex environment. All right, so let's see, 7-10 years maybe, I think, is my call.
I'm making a note. I'll check that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we'll talk again much sooner than that, but we'll certainly check in again in 7 years. So as we wrap here, Kurt, I'm thinking, to Marco's point, you can't just isolate the business and you can't just isolate the users. This connects to the society as well. And in some organizations and industries, much more than others, yours very heavily connected to society. So I'm wondering, what is a final point from you?
Mm-hmm.
What needs to happen and where to kind of free things up to make this transition over the next 7 years?
I think first thing, every organization needs a North Star. And I don't care if you're a $50,000, dollars a year now starting out organization, or like Siemens, an $80 billion business, you need a North Star. For example, Siemens is, we want our internal workforce to be a mirror of society, wherever that might be. Right? Because one thing you need to be careful of is there's equality of opportunity and there's equality of outcome. What we're looking to do as lead. And what I mean by that is it, does everyone have equal access to this opportunity? It doesn't necessarily always translate to, let's say, the makeup of your organization directly mirroring, you know, society. It takes work, right? Because you need to always get the people who are most qualified, and sometimes those don't line up. So again, equality of outcome is what we're aiming for. So what you want as managers, and here I use the term managers most broadly, from CEOs to second level managers, whomever, is you want as diverse a slate as possible in order for you to choose who you're going to hire. That's the first. Always push your hiring managers to get you a diverse plate. The second is you want to always check your bias, your unconscious bias. I have it. We have it. Everyone has it. It's a part of human nature. It's how we do risk assessments. To be honest, to use an unrelated example, you get burned by fire once, and every time you see this flickering orange flame, you're going to be a little bit weary of it. That same process is what develops unconscious bias, because we identify, we feel closer to people who look, sound like us, or have a similar background. It's fine to have it, but what you want to do is monitor it and push back. Yeah, it's like, it's almost like another person inside of you. You want to check it. You're in charge. The third thing that you want to do is be 100% open to a diverse set of opinions. I always say, one of the things I say, always seek out people who disagree with you. If you're in an echo chamber, you're losing. And be comfortable with disagreement. I think if more people were comfortable with disagreement, we wouldn't have such a charged atmosphere around us right now. People just need to be willing to evolve their understanding. Because if you speak with someone with whom you disagree, one of two things happen. Either you further cement your understanding because this person's argument was flawed, or you change your mind. Not a big deal. It's okay to change your mind. Yeah, so be comfortable with opinions that differ from yours. And be an advocate. Be an advocate. And the final piece I'll say is you want to be strategic in how you use diversity to impact the business. A lot of people don't. I think too many people stop at the diversity point, but you want to drive that into the business. If you're having a conversation about something new, something different, bring as diverse a set of opinions as possible. So drive that into the business. And if we can do those things, each person in their little area responsible for what they do those things, I think we would be in such a better space. Personally, how you feel about what you've done and how you've impacted the world, the business would be in a better space. Everyone would be so much better off.
Yeah, I love it. And so many stories here, Kurt, and I appreciate you sharing them. And yeah, as we wrap here, you mentioned the different perspectives, people that challenge you, recognizing bias, perhaps even embracing bias, and mm-hmm. using your fire story. If everybody just said, look, fire, don't touch, that's not going to do us any good. You want somebody to understand how hot is the fire, what's burning the fire, what direction is it, lots of things to think about the fire. And that's the mindset, all those different perspectives. And
correct.
And somebody may not be afraid of the fire, but pushes the envelope in,
I love
through
it.
And around that fire.
I think I'll steal that. My story stopped at the fire, but then if no one had that diverse mindset that you just talked about, Sean, how would I even begin to grill my steak that's sitting upstairs marinating in my fridge right now? I wouldn't, yeah? So I love it. I'll take it.
Yeah, there you go.
We told you that we love stories, and we could go on and on with those. But
and you brought it to food, which helps.
I definitely love
even be happy.
I can put my hands on fire on that one. Really, I found it a very, very interesting conversation. A lot of stories, and I like your idea just to wrap it up with the Northern Star, like to have that guide, and also reminding that there is a constant change, and even the Northern Star in 2000 years from now, not going to be the same star. So we need to have our goal, and we need to have that mindset that we can change when things need to be changed. And all the things that you said are very inspirational. This was a great conversation, and I want to thank you very, very much, Kurt.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Nintex is the global standard for business process management and automation. The Nintex platform helps their clients accelerate progress on their digital transformation journeys by quickly and easily managing, automating, and optimizing business processes. Learn more at nintex.com. Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com. We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSPmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.